Jared Henriquez is solving problems and starting new things. It's episode 33. Here we go. Let's do this.
To define the personality of a business, so to really treat it like a human and say, okay, how would you react in this circumstance? The same way that you, Alex, have your core of your identity, and you would speak to me maybe differently than you would speak to your mother, than you would speak to someone else. But the reality is your core is the same. And so many businesses get focused on the audience and catering to the audience without actually understanding what their core is.
Welcome to the Made for This podcast. My name is Alex Street, and today I'm interviewing Jared Henriquez. Jared finds the most amount of excitement and joy from being a self-described brand therapist, helping people realize their business's dreams and goals from deep in their soul. As the founder of Renga, Jared is part of an ongoing movement and story with businesses, helping them develop their brand to be clear and purposeful. Jared is married to Alex. She is an incredible human. They have a cat and welcomed me into their home for this interview. Now, as you engage with this conversation, I want you to listen for the movement of Jared discovering something unique about himself and then finding ways to turn that into something that he can do to help others. Plus, in the middle of this conversation, I do a lightning round of questions with Jared, and I hope that those give you some great practical takeaways to help you on your journey. It was a lot of fun. Jared is made to be an entrepreneur, and it's a joy to be able to capture his story at this point of the journey. Enjoy. We are here in Jared's basement apartment. It's a little warmer than it should be for a basement, but that's okay. I'm never going to complain about the heat in summer because the winter is terrible. We got some good coffee and we have a newly shaven cat right next to us.
He's got his boots and his tail and his mane.
Oh, man. One thing I love about you, Jared, is that you kind of dip into all these different areas of life, into like music and sports and all these things. You're one of those annoying people that can kind of do everything well if you decide to. And so we were, just before we started this, I asked you about soccer, or the soccer season that just started. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. The English Premier League?
Yeah, Premier League started on Friday night.
Brilliant. You love this? You love soccer? I call it soccer, do you hate it? Or
no, not at all. Like, I mean, we're in North America and it makes a lot of sense. Great. That's where I grew up. So.
All right. So let's talk about football for a minute. It's the footy. What is it about... who's your favorite team and what is it about soccer that... Is this your favorite sport? Would you say that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so what is it about soccer that makes it your favorite sport? Because I can't stand it.
No, for sure. And I completely... can respect that. Like, I mean, so my favorite team is Southampton. Several years ago, so I grew up playing soccer my whole life, and several years ago, you know, I had realized I always watched all the games on the weekend, but I was never really invested. And I was speaking with a mutual friend of ours, Chris Tompkins, and he said, you just gotta pick a team and follow that one team, and it will just really get you in a lot more.
Right.
And boy, was he right. Like, I'm a little too invested now. So Southampton is, you know, they were a kind of mid-tier team that loved to play their young guys and, you know, buy young potential players and sell them for big money to the big clubs and just continue to build the business that way. And so, yeah, it's pretty good. Last February, my wife and I actually flew all the way to London to watch a cup final game. Because she's the best wife ever.
That's like the championship? That's the big...
So there's like two cup competitions running simultaneously with the season. So it's like all of... England, there's four leagues.
Yeah.
And so the cups are the teams from all the leagues.
Yeah.
And so they made it to the final to play Manchester United at Wembley Stadium.
Southampton did.
Yes. And so we flew to London to watch the game just at Wembley.
This?
Yes. And it was incredible. Like, it was, since it was neither of the team's home stadium, the stadium was cut in half of the supporters. So one half was red and black, one half was red and white. And it was like just police lined down the middle, because like they didn't let you go anywhere near the opposing fans because of fights and stuff. And it was an
This is where
incredible
sports really
atmosphere.
brings people together,
Oh,
right?
and the fandom for soccer is unlike anything we know in North America.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't even a comparable. Like, maybe the closest would be like religion in the southern states. Like, that's kind of the closest thing. Like,
Well, okay. Yep.
it's there's really nothing like it. And yeah, I mean, growing up, just having an appreciation for the sport, for the tactics behind it.
Yeah.
Only allowed three substitutions in 90 minutes, so these guys are running all game and you have to be really tactical. And yeah, it's beautiful. I don't know. It's the same way that a lot of people speak about sports that they love, and
Yeah, right.
there's something special about it.
I don't think I talk about baseball as beautiful, but that's fine.
Well, it's because it's just guys running 90 feet
I
and then going home and eating
Okay.
hot
All right. Tune into a sports podcast if you
dogs.
want us to argue. Okay, enough sports talk radio here. But I think that's interesting because it will, I assume, go a little bit into who you are and your personality and how you dig into things. So let's get right into that. Jared, what are you doing? What's your job, your work, your obsession right now? What are you doing right now in your life?
Yeah, for sure. I guess it's kind of been one of those underlying thoughts in terms of a business that I'd be doing for a long time. And I fully jumped into it in April. So the business is like a brand development agency. So yeah, I've just had kind of a story of, playing in a lot of different entrepreneurial spaces. And what I realized I love doing more than anything is helping businesses solve their problems and really jump into that. And so, yeah, I'm kind of doing that full time now, whatever that looks like, whether it's, a business needs a website, or they're looking at e-commerce or digital marketing, or they just want to really understand who their brand is. I've sort of come with the analogy recently of, like, really the best way to describe what I do is I am a brand therapist. As ridiculous as
That's the
that,
first time I've heard that before.
yeah, and I think
Ever.
it's like,
Okay.
as weird as that sounds, first of all, is that's really what I'm best at, is seeing all the cloud of everything and finding those common threads and pulling it together and asking the questions to allow for self-realization.
Whoa.
And so I think, very similar to how a counselor or a therapist might do with individual and
Right.
personal growth, like that's what I'm doing with businesses.
And so that's getting into their story and hearing just as, I mean, how far do you take that analogy, right? Like, you sit down with them with a pad and paper and you sit on this couch. Yes, tell me your problems to like the business, like to the owners, I
Well,
guess,
for
and
sure. So the agency I have is called Renga, and what Renga is it's a collaborative form of Japanese poetry. So
Renga, like,
Renga, Renga.
okay.
And so the way that this poetry works is, a community of poets would come in and write a poem. So very similar to that, the haiku was birthed out of Renga poetry. So the 3-5-3
Right.
type of structure. And the way that it would work is they would write, the first one would write 3-5-3, and his last three would become the first three for another poet. And then he would go 5-3. And then it would daisy chain like that and continue. And so the premise being is so many of these agencies and consulting firms are coming in with this savior complex to say, everything you've done in the past is crap. We're here with the answer, and we're going to collect our check and then be on our way. Where the premise of how I believe, to most effectively, consult and actually build a proper product is to understand and appreciate the story that happened before. They're an existing company that has been successful, whether or not, so to really kind of find that heart of why they were successful, to then extrapolate on that and to build something with the idea that they're going to take forward and run with it. And so,
So all within that same company though, because as you say that, like I picture, you're talking about multiple poets. I picture multiple companies, and you're kind of bringing the best from another into
So I guess, it, you know, in terms of the alternating stanzas, it would be like the business and everything they've done, yeah. Renga and their contribution, then back to the business, then potentially back to Renga or another agency, and kind of continue that way. And so understanding that it's not a one size fits all type of approach, that every business is unique as each individual, and to give it that respect.
What are some single words that you use to define this process, I guess? What are words that jump out to you that you would say, well, it's about this and this?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, like a constant thing would be the compass. So really defining that, to define the personality of a business. So to really treat it like a human and say, okay, how would you react in this circumstance? The same way that you, Alex, have your core of your identity, and you would speak to me maybe differently than you would speak to your mother, than you would speak to someone else. But the reality is your core is the same. And so many businesses get focused on the audience and catering to the audience without actually understanding what their core is. And so to really understand that, you know, you as an individual will evolve and adapt, but if you don't have a good gauge of who you are in your core, every business decision, the only metric that really you can use is revenue, which is just such a detrimental metric.
Right.
But if you really have a good idea of what your business is and who you want that person to be, then decisions are easy because it's, does it match this? Does it match this? Yes or no? Like, and that's the metric.
Oh, goodness. I mean, you can't see this while you listen, but I have the biggest smile on my face, right? Because as you're talking here, that's everything that I'm living for right now, is trying to help that, but individually, right? Mm-hmm. With each person, is seeing that same thing, is these people are spending so much time trying to impress or trying to adapt to the people around them and find some sort of measurable success, but all along the greatest thing that you can do is find what's deep in your core, and when you focus on that, everything else just
comes. It's because people admire the humility and the authenticity, and as much as a buzzword as authenticity is, it's true, it's incredibly important.
So you come along to a business that's already established and help them identify their core or recognize
it's kind of, you know, in the beginning stages the answer is yes to anything in terms of what I do because of kind of my wider skill set, but you know, the real core of what it is I'd like to be doing every day is, you know, I had a client that was an insurance company since 99, and they just continued to grow and scale, and they had successful products, and they kind of sat in a boardroom, and I was sitting there with like the CEO and the founder, and they're just going, we have an identity crisis. Like, we don't know what products belong where, what buckets belong in what respect. Like, we have this brand that represents this product, but these other things are also making us money, but we don't know what to do. And so to really look at it from 30,000 feet and to reorganize all of those pieces and to kind of dig out what's actually important to them, we were able to distill it down into very two clear streams with a proper strategy and pricing model, and kind of really, really looking at it from a different perspective to understand that we have our own objective and our own core values of who we are as a business.
Right.
If the customer cannot see that and realize that, that's our fault in terms of how we communicate. And so to try and bridge that gap and to define that and to properly, you know, build a strategy for that communication, because ideally, you know, the same ways that you would have your core values, if you were to say to me, hey, Jared, what are my core values? You would want me to be pretty close to what you would self-identify as.
Right.
And so it's the same with a business.
And I might think, if you don't identify what I think you should identify, my immediate response is, well, you've got me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And but what you're saying is, no, that's on me. That's because I haven't been demonstrating clear enough what my values are.
Yeah.
So how do you see then, I mean, that's a great example. And just even coming in and being able to be that voice, like, is that how you see yourself most helping those people around you? Is that, why can't they do that on their own, I guess?
Yeah, and I guess That's a great question. And I think it's, you know, the same way, you know, to pull on the other analogies, the same way that introspection's hard. It's really hard to be objective with yourself. And to see how all the micro decisions actually affect the macro plan is a skill set I always assumed was normal growing up. And realizing, you know, the more companies I kind of got into and realizing going, how are they not seeing this? Like, how are they not seeing that this decision in pricing or this decision in campaign is affecting people's overall perception of our whole business? Like, and yeah, so I guess, you know, it's, I'm sure people can do it. And they can definitely try. And I think any sort of attempt is a healthy attempt, but in terms of the ability to do it quickly and with accuracy is something I've noticed I've been gifted with.
Wow. And that brings us so well into the next part of this, which is this element of discovering this about yourself. I mean, you jump in and you start Renga. We can either start there and go backwards or start earlier and kind of figure out, I want to hear how you got to this point of starting this. So how do you get to this place where you are now and realizing that you want to do this with the businesses?
For sure. I think, like, I don't know, it's interesting. My whole life I did pretty well at school, and specifically in the math and science. And so, you know, I was a little bit younger than a lot of the people I was at school with. And so I was 16 deciding what university to go to, and I excelled in math and science. So I was like, cool, engineering. And that just made sense. And that's where I started. In near the end of 12th grade, I kind of had this idea for, of all things, starting a clothing company. Okay. That clothing company was called Pocket Change Apparel. And the premise was being, you know, why can't I afford to give money to charity and to help out in a place of such privilege? And it's because I waste my money on entertainment, food, and clothing. And I went, well, can't sing and I can't cook, so I'm going to make clothing, because why not?
Because you can do that? Were you sewing your own clothes together anyways? Like, what?
Nope, not at all. So I don't know what sort of false confidence I had about that, but it just seemed like, yeah, sure, why not? And so, you know, through my first year of engineering, really working on building this clothing company, I guess I realized I had a knack for leadership, for facilitating collaboration, and for, you know, some strategic thought process, you know, going through that time and all my own self introspection and all that stuff, and growing as a, you know, an adolescent does, like, it was interesting to do that. And I was afforded an interesting opportunity. You know, when you're a 17-year-old kid who started a business, a lot of your friends who are like, oh, I have an idea for a business, start asking you your opinion on how to do it and how to go forward with that. And I learned very quickly that I love nothing more than answering those questions and, like, going, okay, well, what do you want to do? Wow. And immediately seeing, oh, okay, well, there's four or five different outcomes I see, and there's this avenue that gets us here, this avenue that gets us here, and this avenue that gets us here. What is the main priority in your objective? And so, you know, just through a lot of questions of, hey, I think I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and being, for some reason, some authority because I decided to act on an idea I had early. Exactly. It just kind of ignited a love to do that. And that's,
what is that even, like, just the fact that people, when you do something, people appreciate it, respect it, then all of a sudden elevate you to authoritative status, as you say, it's some sort of authority.
Yeah. And you wonder if it's like a combination of the excitement they see in me when they ask those questions.
Cause if you shut down, they would go to someone else. They would.
Yeah. Oh, or, okay. Oh, well, let's talk about that later. But like, as soon as someone asks me that, like, it's like, you know, several shots of espresso, and I'm locked in, and I'm excited to really dig down and try and figure that out. And so,
you know, is it still that way?
I honestly believe so. Yeah. It really is. you know, it's now it's married with the crap, how are we paying rent, and how are they actually gonna, like, how am I gonna bill for this, because it's so philosophical and like there's no there's no tangible thing where it's not, hey, I make you a website, here's your website, I receive cash. It's more like it could be a 2-hour conversation where we have a huge spark that could result in hundreds of thousands of dollars in terms of like future revenue because of a quick readjustment.
Right.
But we don't know. So it's, you know, it's married with that, but either way, I'm still incredibly excited at the opportunity to have those conversations.
I mean, what other 16-year-old is thinking, you know, what business am I going to start, or how do I start a business? But I find it interesting just hearing that story, that it was sparked from this idea about charity, and you just brushed right over that. But what's, where did, like, did that lead you to start a business, or was it, I want to start something? Do you know what I mean? Like, what was first there? Yeah. Where's that charitable?
I was never seeking to start a business. Okay. It was never a thought of, hey, what is something I can do? Because entrepreneurship is about to be cool. I just kind of got lucky in terms of like my timing of, hey, I'm starting to be an entrepreneur, and you know, the whole economy is dramatically changing. And never mind social entrepreneurship. When I started the social entrepreneurship, it was not really a thing. Like Tom's had started maybe that year or a year before. Right. And you know, at that time, not many people were looking at doing social entrepreneurship.
So how long ago was that now? Like, what do we?
It was 2008 that we first started working on it. 2009 or 10 was when we launched, like, officially the clothing company.
Right.
So I mean, like, it was more out of a, yeah, this just makes sense. And, you know, talking with some people of like, hey, this is an idea I have. And 3 or 4 people within a week saying, hey, you should check out this program called Launch. Yeah. and I'm going, okay, that's the third or fourth time I heard that this week. So yeah. I guess I'll hear that. And, you know, being partnered with someone who, yeah, was just very instrumental in terms of slamming doors shut in front of me and teaching me patience and teaching me diligence in terms of actually setting it up to work properly. And
right.
Yeah, it was just a perfect storm of, you know, a lot of blessings. And
this is good, because this isn't sponsored in any means.
No, exactly.
I now work for Launch. Yeah. And that's what we do. We try to match young entrepreneurs in some way up with somebody who will walk with them and do that and help just make sense of all those questions, right? And but for you, and I want to come back to this, that charity piece, something here was led by, if I'm right, and shut this down if it's not, by this desire to help, seemed to spark all of this.
It's interesting, because I think I honestly, in terms of Pocket Change, never once was the priority the people we were helping. The priority was the youth in, like myself, who have been told you have to choose consumerism or charity, that they can't coexist, that you have to kind of decide whether you're going to be poor and give your money away, or like actually choose to buy the things. And the whole point of Pocket Change was that we made clothing that people wanted to buy because of the clothing, and whether they wanted to or not, we were going to be helping.
And then money from the clothing went to, the proceeds went to?
Initially Compassion, and then an orphanage in Haiti. So, yeah, like it was kind of subverting consumerism in a way of like, we're using it against itself to use the impulse of, yeah, let's create some really nice clothing. And it's like, hey, surprise, you're actually giving charity. And I mean, the biggest win in all of that was watching some of the people in my circle and in other circles really start to consider where their clothing's made, to consider, okay, how can I do a little bit in every moment? And, you know, watching a lot of different initiatives kind of pop out around me. And you know, when we had our... Yeah, we had like our vision statement, and like watching, you know, youth put that like as their Facebook status was like, whoa, that's cool. Like it's not, they're not sharing the clothes, like they're sharing our actual vision and mission. And I think that was a really cool part. But that was always my main focus was, like, in terms of primary objective, is like, mm-hmm. let's be an example to say that generosity is not impossible.
All right, we're doing something new on the podcast here. I'm going to enter into lightning round questions here with Jared. So I'm going to ask him a bunch of things that hopefully will resource you, the listener, in some way to find out what's really good in this world. You ready, Jared?
Cool.
All right. What book has shaped you the most, or what are you reading right now?
Yeah, I think on a personal level, Abba's Child by Brennan Manning has shaped me the most. So I reread that often. It's a book that just rocks me every time I read it. And I actually have two copies because I kept giving away a copy and then not having it. So I resolved that by having two. From a business standpoint, I would definitely recommend Rework by Jason Fried. Him and David Henmeyer Hassan, I think is how it's pronounced, DHH. They started a company called Basecamp, project management software. Really cool company, really cool perspectives.
So good. Love Abba's Child. Abba's. Love that. What is your morning routine?
Morning routine, wake up, start the kettle, then make 3 eggs and my coffee. And yeah, then either followed by, you know, pretending to be active or intelligent by reading or exercising, and then likely, checking emails and Twitter.
And then somewhere that melds into doing work or something, yeah, whatever that is.
Exactly.
Very cool.
At least that's the theory.
What's the best thing that you bought in the last month?
I started making kombucha a while ago, and Alex and I really enjoyed drinking kombucha, but to buy kombucha is ridiculously expensive, mm-hmm. and we ended up looking into how easy it was to make, and it turns out very easy. So we just bought like a little starter SCOBY. It's like stands for some culture of bacteria and yeast.
SCOBY.
Yeah, so that was a cool purchase. Like, I mean, we make several liters of kombucha a week, and yeah, trade kombucha for a fridge to my in-laws so that I can store it all, and that's the best.
Very cool. Who is someone that you wouldn't define as family or friend that has had the biggest impact on your life?
That I wouldn't define as family or friend. Probably some of the different authors. Seth Godin, I've read a lot of his books and they were really influential. He also has a podcast called, Something About a Startup.
Startup School.
Startup School. Yeah. That's the one. And it's like just super succinct and really worthwhile. And then Tim Ferriss, all his books and his podcasts, I think, are just really interesting to me in terms of how he hacks the learning process and really finds a creative way to accomplish tasks.
That's crazy. If you could bring everyone you love to one place in the world, where is it?
Vancouver. Yeah. Both Alex and I would love to go out there if it weren't for all the people we have here. I don't know how she'd do with rainy season, but rain grainy days are my favorite. So the only downside is a positive for me.
And rainy season is, 10 months of the year, there, I think. And finally, is there one hobby or activity that you're, totally nerdy about that people may not know?
Yeah, the Premier League and soccer for sure. But then outside of that, it would be fantasy hockey and just, the economics of that. And also Call of Duty. I've played a lot of, first-person video games when I was growing up, and I ended up actually being sponsored and winning competitions and stuff for Call of Duty. And even a lot of people that know me very well have no idea that this happens, and they kind of shake their head at the fact that I used to play it.
That's a whole other podcast right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very good. That was Lightning Round with Jared and Alex.
Cool.
how were people involved in this this poem of your own life, I guess.
Yeah,
you
for
know
sure.
you start to create something, but then somebody comes along at some point and adds to it.
Yeah, I think it is probably these people we were touching on in terms of asking my opinion. And, you know, as you start to do more, like, especially in a small community of, you know, youth ministry and us having booths in a lot of these places and meeting different people who are always talking about strategy, like, yeah. I think you start getting into different conversations where someone goes, hey, well, what's your opinion on this? And like, okay, I'll give you my opinion. And they go, oh, that's interesting. Like, this is a different perspective and a different way that we hadn't heard before. Let's keep asking you these questions. And so I think it was a lot of little micro conversations and stuff. But I think the idea of Renga had been existent for probably 6-7 years now, honestly, as crazy it is, as it is, like, I'm 25, but it was always something. One day I'm going to sit with businesses and do this.
Yeah.
And
7 years later, you're doing
for sure. And honestly, it's probably still too early. Like, in a way of like, I'm going, you know, I really see Renga hitting its stride probably more when I have some more execution under my belt, because as a 25-year-old to come in and talk about all this like esoteric philosophical strategy stuff without a lot of proof in terms of like, oh, he actually knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. That's the objective for down the road. And really the current strategy is more, okay, in the time of doing these businesses and working at the companies I work for, I've developed an actual set of hard skills. And so I'm going to sell those hard skills and allow this strategy piece to be my point of differentiation, that with hopes that, hey, I made you a website and we like the way your brain worked. Could you maybe give us some question, like answer some questions on this? And so that's the current model.
Yeah.
We'll see what if that works out. But I mean,
You still see these businesses coming in almost feeding that same fire, right? So as a teenager, you had a thing and people kept coming to you and asking questions, but that's just grown to become kind of bigger just in size opportunities, where it's now people are coming to you and paying you to ask you questions.
Yeah, I think, well, hopefully. Yeah, for sure. And I think it's probably through affirmation and through growing confidence in terms of like, yes, this is a skill set I actually have. It's not just, hey, I'm excited to answer this question without a realization of what this is. Like, I think that's turned into a bit of confidence with saying like, I know I can be an asset to your business in any respect. Like, if it's not in these hard skills, like, let's at least have a conversation and we can discuss your overall strategy. And if you're all set, like, I'm more than happy to say you don't need me. Right. Like, it's along those lines of, a confidence that from a strategic standpoint, I feel like I can be an asset in almost any situation.
And so you've had jobs, you've been working along the way, I'm assuming.
For sure.
What is it like to have this this dream or this idea building and building and building all along while you're working in, I don't know,
the
types of jobs that you've been working in?
Yeah, it's,
what are you in, retail, corporate?
Yeah, so like I've done a few different things. Like, I worked at a golf course for probably 12 years.
Okay.
Did a couple like short retail stints, right, one at West 49, because I was in, like, the clothing company we had was in the skate and snow community.
Right.
After school, I ended up working for Shopify, Canada's like biggest and fastest growing company right now. And I'm probably one of the only employees to ever like willingly leave there.
Yeah.
You know, I was there when they went through their IPO and like, just, I joined, I was employee maybe 500 and I left 11 months later and there was 13 employees and now there's 3,000 employees. And that was a year and a half ago. So, I mean, like, they're growing incredibly, like, it's the best company in the world, but I sort of felt I was just another cog. And through all these conversations and experiences with entrepreneurship, I've realized I need to be around making decisions that matter. I'm way more comfortable being the one putting my neck on the line and trusting my gut and making a decision rather than following orders from someone who I just disagree with. Like, wow. I wish I was a good employee, but I'm a terrible employee in terms of, you know, if there's not a set strategy, it's really hard for me to buy in. And yeah, I've read a lot of books trying to convince me I'm not an entrepreneur, and unfortunately it keeps telling me I am. It's nice and fun to be an entrepreneur now, but unfortunately I'm a real entrepreneur that has to be one when it sucks to be an entrepreneur, which is most of the time. So I think it's interesting. You know, I don't necessarily remember the original question, but I think it's like through all these businesses and jobs that I had, I realized I'm just not a good tactician, as some of these books calls, someone that does the execution.
Yeah.
I can do the execution, but I have to really believe in the big picture.
And that's it. That was the original question, was kind of, you know, as you go through these jobs, what does it feel like to have this thing ringing in your ears, I guess? And for you, that ringing is, you got to do your own thing. You've got to, I mean, define entrepreneurship for me, because that's, maybe everybody listening has this own idea and they have this own picture of it. So when you say, I'm a lifelong entrepreneur, I have to be this.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I mean, entrepreneur in that of an executor, someone who actually is willing to take those risks. It's such an interesting term that has been adopted by so many different people.
Right.
And you know, like running your own business, sure, like you're an entrepreneur in a way, but I don't know if you're entrepreneurial, if that makes sense. Like you can run your own business, but I don't know if you're an entrepreneur. Like, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in service-based businesses, are just really good tacticians who are good people.
Yeah, okay.
People, right? Yeah. Like, you know, having a service-based business or something along those lines, a lot of the times it's, hey, I'm really good at doing what I do. I'm willing to put my nose down and do the accounting and the billing that I don't necessarily like. Yeah. But it's not going to necessarily grow. Like, I'm not interested in leading a whole bunch of people. I'm not necessarily interested in doing that core strategy stuff. I'm just really good at what I want to do, and I'm sick of doing it for someone else that's taking some of the money I could be making.
Yeah, okay.
And I wouldn't necessarily call that an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Like, however controversial that might be, like I have nothing but admiration for a lot of those people. Like it takes an incredible amount of courage, but like, I guess I see a true entrepreneur as someone who's interested, who's always looking 10 years down the road, and working towards that. Like where I think a lot of these kind of service-based businesses are like, well, what could I make next year if I did this?
Right.
Which is like super beneficial, and a lot of people make great livings off of.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, the romanticized view I have of entrepreneurship is like, your job is to lead and set a vision. Like maintain that vision, and that's the only role of an entrepreneur.
And in the role you're in right now, you're stepping into other, let's say, service-based businesses coming in and saying, what are you thinking? What are you doing?
Yeah, like there's a lot of businesses that don't have an entrepreneur on staff, right? And so to have someone to help define that vision and to create the guidelines to maintain that, like it's kind of a procedural approach to making a document or a consultant, like the entrepreneur in-house.
So you can't not do this.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like it's one of those things that, you know, I have to do. And it doesn't have to look the way that Renga is. I think this type of consultancy is always something I'm going to do because it makes me so excited. But so much of me is even thinking, you know, I have notebooks of different product-based ideas. And, you know, if one of them gets me excited enough to actually execute and not just give away for free, then like I could see myself jumping into that too. But talking with people and helping them realize their business's dreams is always something I want
to
do.
Do you see people get excited in when you talk to them about that sort of stuff? They come to you with an idea. the excitement that you talk about when you feel it, that triple espresso shot, whatever that is, do you see them light up in that same way when you help them realize something, you help them see something? Do they spark on a whole other level?
Sometimes. I think a lot of it, like a therapist, it's self-realized, like very guided. So it's like, sometimes it's just kind of like, oh yeah, no, this makes sense. Like, this is what we've been doing. Like, this is where we're going on along. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm glad you feel that way, because that means the story, your existing story, has married with this new realization, and it makes sense. But I was talking with someone the other day who has like a fitness-based business, and she was saying, okay, well, this is my name, and I'm a big why person. And it's like, okay, well, why is that your business's name? Well, I don't know. I like the name of it. Okay, cool. Well, what do you want to do? Like, she's like, oh, I want to write a recipe book and have a personal training gym and a yoga studio. Yeah. And I said, okay, pick one. You can only do one. What is it? And she's just like, what do you mean? And so, like, through the realization, it was just like, you know, oh, and she said, secretly, my secret name for this future cookbook is this.
Yeah.
And then through the conversation, it ended up being like, so why is your business, like, if that's your main objective and this is your secret cookbook name, like, why is that not your business name, and why is not that the core? And like, watching her realize, like, I've had it all along. Mm-hmm. I've had it in me all along, and I didn't realize that it was right in front of me. Like, I didn't help her come up with a name. I didn't help her do anything. All I did was, you know, say, I see all these pieces, and the common thread I see in all of this is this one thing. And you're clearly way more excited about this one thing.
Yeah.
So let's pour all your energy in there. And I think often that's married with like a, wow, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like, but, you know, sometimes it turns into, you know, that insurance company, for example, like the founder looked at the CEO and just said, why aren't we doing this? Like, we need to do this tomorrow, right? Like, it seemed like a no-brainer. And so it wasn't like a, it wasn't a, whoa, this is amazing, like, my mind's blown. It's, okay, let's, the things that are right in front of our face, I'm kind of dusting away the, the whatever is blocking them from seeing it.
To see the thing that they should focus on. And, and I imagine that then, to speak about that excitement, that must be a relief. That must be an exciting thing for people, and something purposeful to move forward with.
Mm-hmm.
But then to think that that's tied to their business. You're not just talking about an individual
human, for sure.
But this is something that they are making their livelihood out of. And so to give them a focus, which will help them then be more successful, whatever that is, in their thing. Do you walk away from that meeting going, yes? Like,
yeah, for sure. Like,
satisfaction.
Yeah.
Is there something of that?
100%. Yeah. It was.
Or do you get frustrated that, like, no, there's still more problems to solve?
Yes and no. Like,
do you see the good, or do you only see the.
Honestly, like, the reason why I have such a hard time being an employee is because in every business, there's one or two problems to solve. And a lot of business mentors I have they laugh when I say that. Yeah. And I'm completely aware there's thousands of logistical problems time. Right. But, you know, I worked at Muskoka Woods for a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, Muskoka Woods, they have one problem, is how do they get kids excited about going to a real place and interacting with each other face to face? Like,
camp. Yeah.
Like, that's, that's the one problem. Like, sure, there's thousands of staffing problems and logistic problems, but like, the core of the whole business is, how do we actually get kids excited about wanting to come here? And that's one thing, that's one problem to solve. And like, those are the problems that excite me. So I mean, in terms, when I feel that it's been defined for a business, and that they believe in that problem, and they believe in the solution, or at least the approach to that problem, it definitely feels like job done. It's not like, oh, well, what about this? What about this? Because at the end of the day, if you have that core compass, for lack of a better analogy, established, all of those little problems just need to check back to that.
Yeah.
Like, they're all just roadblocks that you go, oh, cool, let me check out this compass. Oh, okay, we know where to go with this.
Is that a who, or is that a why?
Yes. Or what?
Who are we? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, the same.
We keep coming back to that.
The same way when, if, you know, you get a lucrative job offer as a human being, and you and your spouse are talking, okay, it's going to cause us to move, but what does this mean? What's our metric? Is it finances? Is it the community we're in? Is it the challenge ahead in terms of making us excited and renewed? Like it's the same thing with a business, as you need to have that compass in every major relationship, as you as an individual, and I would say the same as a business.
That's brilliant. Where do you see this going then now? What's your dream? What's the dream for Renga, or even aside from that, what's the dream for you, your family, moving forward?
I had recently written like a this day 10 years from now type of thing, and I always want to be doing Renga, in terms of this, where I come into a business and do those 1 or 2 day work sessions of we throw everything at a whiteboard and really try and establish these core things. Like that long term, like that's what I'm doing 40, 50, 60 hours a week, like having those conversations and really drilling those down. I absolutely love working with people. Like I find that, my sort of personal vision statement has just been finding a better way to do things and collaborating in every way, right? Like as it's I'm a huge believer of let's put self recognition aside for a second and actually build something sustainable. Because so often I see businesses that are just unwilling to give up a bit of control, a bit of credit, a bit of power, and they entirely limit themselves by not allowing someone else to shine in the areas they are strong. And so, I would love to always have a small team. I think I would never have more than 15 employees, like very intentionally of keeping a, and I even think 15 is too much. Like I imagine it more like 5 to 6 people sitting in a room. And it's like, hey, it's Tuesday morning. Today we're gonna write all the complaints we had about different products this week, and we're gonna write them on the board and see if we can maybe build a little product for that. And to constantly turn over little businesses like that and to set them up, and then let's find someone to run it. Like let's build it and sell it. Like, there's a company in St. Louis called Need Want that I really love the model that they have. Like they have a phone case company. They sell like they're like, hey, we can't find a thin phone case that's actually good. Okay, cool. Let's just make it like a one SKU item business. And then they have bedding that clips the duvet to the sheet at the bottom so they don't get all crumpled up underneath. And they have like emoji, but it like the reality is we're just making little products and little businesses that aren't necessarily sustainable on their own, but they're actually solving real problems that we experience every day. And I think that's the dream, is to have a team of people that's interested in solving interesting problems.
Wow. It's fantastic. I mean, and that's everything, again, coming back to what my motivation is with this podcast, with this whole Made for This movement vision, is how do we discover, what's inside us that will help others? Why would you do something if it's not going to help the people around you? I think that's what we're made for, every single one of us, and it's just finding the unique way to do that. And I love that you are doing that, but on this, it's just like you're embodying this. And I just find that that's so fascinating to me. And even coming back to the soccer thing, you talk about strategy, you talk about moving and reacting and all this stuff. Like it really does feel like a soccer game that you're like, are you on the field or are you the coach?
I don't know. Maybe the manager, the one that hires the coach and buys the players and does that stuff, like is the person that's the larger chess game is seeing all of that and putting the capable people around. Like, sure, I can be somewhat effective on the field, but it's way better for me to not be there and to put someone who's solely focused on that. And sure, I could coach, but there's people that are super gifted in terms of managing people and doing that type of stuff. And so it's more Yeah, shift shuffling the pieces, I think.
That's fascinating because I'm sure that there's some people that would be like, no, yeah, I want to be in Jared's position. I want to be that, just as you defined it, right? I want to be that manager way up there. But I keep getting on the field because I'm actually really fast and at this, but I want to be there. And in a sense, what we hope is that they just realize, no, you're the fastest person here. Would you just be okay with being on the field?
Yeah, like I mean, we glorify all
Right.
these higher positions and all of these different things, but like the reality is it sucks. Like it's lonely, right? Like because a lot of the times it's like, yeah, sure, I'd love to just play soccer and not have to worry about how I'm paying these players or my teammates or whatever. Like it's no more admirable being a manager than it is being a player,
Right.
right? Like it's kind of it's silly to. Sure, there's more power, quote unquote power of decision making, but there's also way more ridicule, way more responsibility, way more obligation. Yeah, everything has its trade-offs. Like, I mean, it's just exist where you best exist, right? Like that's kind of the reality of it.
And if we all did that, then we'd have a successful team. Man, we've driven this analogy way into the ground. This is so good. look, we can wrap this up now. Is there anything else that you would want to say to people trying to discover and do what they're made for?
Yeah, I think it's prioritize that self-discovery, right? Like the same way I say this to business is it's like it doesn't matter what this campaign looks like. It doesn't matter what this product looks like if you haven't established it, because there's the only right answer is one that checks your overall strategy, right? you know, for a clothing company, say it's like, hey, is this the right t-shirt for us to make? It's like, okay, cool. Well, what are you trying to do? Who are you trying to speak to? What is the main purpose of your vision? Does this compromise the brand that you've already built and established? Like the answer is always subjective. And so if you don't have the metric to base that off of, it's worth establishing. And so if that's for you on a personal level, going to counseling, like counseling is the best thing in the world in terms of like having a objective voice speak into your being and to say like, hey, cool, I see all these different pieces and there's this common thread. Have you ever thought about this? Like the reality is no, you probably haven't, and that's going to dramatically change the trajectory of your life. And so like I think it's have the real conversations, facilitate relationships with people that are willing to cut through all the crap and actually speak to you honestly and to really set you up, because like that's love, right? Like is it's hey Alex, I want you to be the best Alex you can be. And what does that look like to you? And the more you explore that, like that's going to answer the other questions.
Good. Thank you for thanks for that. That's I don't know, that's truth. That's just a great encouragement and we need that. And I want people to be able to find you. So how are they gonna find you on the internet or any other way?
Yeah, so on all platforms, my handle is like at Jared Henriques, JaredHenriques. My website is jared.is. I'm going to be setting up a newsletter very shortly in terms of, you know, just delivering monthly articles in terms of how to build your business, interesting articles that I find, different tools that I've been using, and some of the music I've been listening to lately because I like to share that stuff too. Yeah, so on the socials or jared.is is also a hub for all those places.
Fantastic. And they can find out about Renga as well from all that
Yeah,
or whatever it
renga.co.
is. It's
Yeah.
just so good. Jared, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And hope that Southampton does well.
Me too.
And oh man, I love talking to Jared. He has helped me out with my own business and trying to figure out what I'm doing and what my target is and why I'm doing what I'm doing and who I am as a person. So I hope that you also engage. If you have any ideas, any new things that you want to create or do, I encourage you to contact Jared through those ways that that he encouraged you to. Some things that I'm going to take away from this conversation. Three things here. The compass he talked about, kind of returning back to that core, that place that is deep inside you, that when you know, what did he say? When you know who you are and why you exist, it's easy to go back to that core so that when there's these problems that arise, they're not big problems because you just always go back to, well, is this who I am? And is this why I'm doing what I'm doing? And if it's not, then it's not a problem anymore. And if it is, then you can move forward. And so he said, prioritize self-discovery. I think that's incredible. Another thing, he said, an entrepreneur is not simply someone that starts a business, but someone who sees ahead. He said even 10 years ahead and is constantly moving towards that. That was so interesting to me because I classify entrepreneur as kind of anybody that starts something, right? Anybody that starts a business or runs a business of any kind, essentially. But he described entrepreneurship as this very unique gift set that needs to be on every team. Did you catch when he said not every business has an entrepreneur as part of the team? That was amazing to me. So maybe you're not an entrepreneur. Maybe you are just a great business starter, but you need an entrepreneur. You need somebody who's always going to see far ahead and be moving towards that. Also, Renga, this idea of Renga, this poem, I think is such a beautiful way to go through life as a whole. This idea of passing on your poem and then letting somebody else add to it, because that's the tough part, isn't it? We've talked about this before in passing on your dreams. It's letting others take your work, your life, your dream, whatever it is, and then add to it to make it better, to bring some more ideas to it, to bring more character to it, to bring more people to it, more life to it. And are you willing to do that? Are you willing to let go of something that you've already worked on so that somebody else can add to it? Well, I had a blast with this interview. I hope you had fun listening to it, and there's something that you're going to take away to help you discover and do what you're made for. Thank you for being with us, Made for This Community. Until next time, be good, everybody.